escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
And welcome to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening until 10 o'clock. Hey, thanks so much for staying up late with us here on The Voice of St. Louis. We've got a lot of stuff to cover this evening. We've got guests. We've got news. We've got stuff that at least the intent is that it's funny. My kids tell me, Dad, stop trying. You're not funny. So, I mean, I understand that, but I just don't give up, though. That's my competitive nature. The more often they tell me that whatever I'm saying isn't funny, the more I just pour it on. I think it's a dad's responsibility to harass his children. So I live up to that standard as often as I possibly can. So thanks so much for sitting or for being here with us this evening. And today, I looked this up. I always find this interesting. What is the national day today? Today is National Serpent Day. Matt Pajeski, producer extraordinaire, what are your thoughts about snakes? You know, snakes evoke a high level of emotion, have a high emotional response in people. What say you?
Well, I'm not really, I'm not too terribly afraid of snakes, although I'm not fond enough of them to have them as pets. I don't get how people can do that. That would just creep me out knowing it's in my room or in the house somewhere behind a flimsy glass case. I'm not that fond of them, but there's scary things out there, I think, like spiders. That's just me, though.
Just you. So snakes, you're okay with them, but you don't really want to be best friends with them.
No.
Is that fair to say?
Is it possible to be best friends with a snake? I don't think he would think that about you.
Well, maybe. Or maybe you think a lot like Indiana Jones did when it comes to snakes.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Asps. Very dangerous. You go first.
Well, and we've talked about this before, Matt. My youngest daughter has a snake. She has a pet snake. Have I told you this before?
I don't think so. I don't know about that.
So she has a pet snake. It's a ball python.
Wow.
And when she talked us into buying this snake, she was in high school, and she said, "I want to get a snake." But it wasn't until after she bought the snake that she informed my wife and I that snakes live 30 years.
Of course.
When they're kept as pets. A 30-year commitment. So she didn't tell us that, and I didn't research it. I guess it's my fault. So she gets this snake, and the snake comes home, and it's in the bottom of a styrofoam cup. It's tiny as a baby snake. And that was probably that was probably about 4 years ago. Now it's about 4 feet long.
Wow.
And she's got the case for it, and she keeps the snake. So she gets the snake out, and the ball pythons, you can't feed them live animals because they're too timid.
Okay.
Anything alive is going to kill these things, so you can't get any more of a timid snake pet than a ball python. But it completely creeps my wife out. She wants to have nothing to do with it. So last year, while my daughter was in college, my wife and I went on a vacation, and it was my job to keep track of the snake when my daughter was at college. So we went in, and I went to look at it on the snake before we left for vacation. And it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and our flight leaves at 4:30. So I'm walking in, checking on the snake. The snake's not in the tank.
Get out of here.
It's not in the tank. So I'm reaching in. I'm digging around, looking for the snake. Yeah, you would think it was a prank, right? But my daughter wasn't even home. She was in college. So there's no snake anywhere. The snake is not in the tank. And so I'm looking at my watch, and I'm saying to my wife, we got to catch our flight. We got to leave right now.
Ugh.
And my wife is saying, no, it's gonna break my daughter's heart if you lost her snake. Of course, now it's my fault, right? Because
it always is, Brad.
It is. It's always my fault. It's fine. So I was the keeper of the snake. So apparently the clip didn't get on, and he pushed his way out of the top. So I'm loading the luggage in the car. I've already written the snake off. I've said, you know what? Sorry, it's a snake, but we got to catch our flight to Florida. So while I'm loading the luggage in the car in the driveway, my wife is desperately looking for this snake. She goes into one of our other daughter's bedrooms. That's everybody out of the house. It's an empty bedroom. And she sees the back 6 inches of this snake as it's heading behind the bookcase. And my wife said, I've got a decision here. Do I grab the snake, which will basically raise every fear that she's ever had? She hates him. She doesn't want to look at him. She doesn't want to hold him. She doesn't want to be around him. She doesn't want to be in the same zip code as a snake. But if she goes and yells at me to come and get it, the snake will be gone. And then the snake is gone. And she pushes through her fear and grabs the tail of the snake while it's going behind the bookcase, pulls it up. And I'm sure it's wiggling around while she's carrying it. And she goes into our other daughter's bedroom and drops it into the tank and puts the lid on it. And so, that's right. So so then she hollers at me to come and secure the snake. And of course, my smart aleck response was, if I wasn't responsible enough to secure it the first time, why are you asking me to secure it the second time? And so we secured it. We went on our trip. But the snake got loose in our house.
That would creep me out so much to know that there's a live animal that is like a snake or somebody had a pet tarantula that broke out. To just know it's in your house somewhere, but you don't know where it is. I'd feel like it'd be crawling on me in the middle of the night or something. I'd feel something brush up against my legs under my sheets or whatever. And I'd think every little thing would be that animal, that snake or that tarantula, whatever. That is scary.
So now she's got an apartment. It is scary. You're exactly right. So my daughter's got this apartment in Columbia. I'm not going to tell you which one because they don't allow pets. But my daughter's taken her snake to this apartment. And she's got a roommate. And the roommate is completely creeped out by the snake. So you have roommates, Matt. Would you like it if one of your roommates just popped up with a snake in the tank and said, oh, don't worry about it, Matt. He's in a tank. He's not going to bother you.
I can't trust my friends with animals like that. No way.
So, yeah, somebody's already texted in about Indiana Jones, so thank you very much. But I had to play Indy to talk about, because today's National Serpent Day, and I looked this up. The largest snake in the world is the reticulated python, and it routinely reaches over 20 feet in length. That's a big snake.
Is your daughter's 4-foot snake growing still, or is 4 feet the max?
It's going to continue to grow, but it's growing more slowly. But I got to tell you, the coolest part of her having a snake is feeding time. But she's got to feed it frozen mice, because again, if you put a live mouse in there, these ball pythons are so timid that the mouse would actually kill the snake, which seems counterintuitive, right?
Yeah.
But these ball pythons have been domesticated to such an extent that if you let them go in the wild, they're basically owl food. They're toast. They're not going to live in the wild. Because if you can't fight off a mouse, how are you going to fight off anything else? So they're very, very domesticated. But I'll get it out and it'll go on. It doesn't bother me at all. But if you want to celebrate National Serpent Day, and if you get a snake, make sure it's a ball python, because anything else, when you put it in the tank, it's looking at you and it's thinking one thing: dinner. That's what the snake is thinking when he's looking at you. Hey, we're going to take a break, and we've got this entire hour open. Good choice of music. We've got this entire hour open. No interviews this hour. I've got lots of stuff to talk about, but at your service means what we say. We are at your service. What's on your mind? What are you thinking about? What's bugging you these days? What's exciting to you? Give us a call, 314-436-7900 on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
News, talk, sports. The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Here on and At Your Service were apparently touched a nerve this evening because I've gotten a lot of texts from folks about snakes. And I mentioned snakes evoke an emotional response. Most of us don't like snakes. I mean, I don't care. I'm not bothered by them. But most folks have a visceral response to snakes. But one person texted in and said, ball pythons can eat live mice. I've had six and all ate live mice. Well, that's interesting. And it must be because, and I'm not making a joke here on gender, promise me. But the female snakes are far more vicious than the male ball pythons. That's why my daughter got a male, because it's smaller, it's more docile, and the females apparently grow about 50% larger than the male ball python snakes, and maybe those are the ones who will eat live mice, because my daughters will only eat frozen. Now, you can make the joke about the female ball python being more vicious than the male. I'm not going to make that joke because I've slept on my couch before and it's not very comfortable. So I'm not going to make that joke at all, particularly if I think that my wife could be listening this evening. So in other news, though, one thing that I found interesting about today, and I followed this story for a very long time. It's a local story. And back in 2013, Missouri had a tax credit for filmmakers who wanted to shoot movies here in the state of Missouri. Now, a lot of conservatives are against those kinds, and even liberals are against those tax credits, because you're giving tax credits to companies, to corporations who are making money and they may not need a tax credit. Why are we giving these corporations a break when other industries don't get the same sort of a break? But as I've always looked at this issue, and I've even known people in the film business here in Missouri, and at one point it was a thriving business. And then in 2013, the legislature stopped those tax credits, and the movie industry in Missouri, by and large, just collapsed across the board. And yet we, as you heard on KMOX even this morning, there is now a renewed interest in this film and movie tax credit.
Missouri is one of only 15 states that don't offer any incentives for film production. The tax credit was cut a decade ago.
The incentive question is the first question we are asked.
That's Steph Shannon, the Kansas City Film Commissioner, who says there are plenty of productions in the pipeline if lawmakers put incentives in place by May. A bill to make that happen received a hearing this morning before the House Economic Development Committee. Michelle Davidson of Film in Mo says other states are actually beefing up their incentives now, but for Missouri, it's not too late.
We're maybe a little behind the game in terms of infrastructure and crew. We need to build that up. But in terms of productions wanting to come here, if we're seen as film friendly and we do have a comparable tax credit, we will grow the industry, we'll grow the infrastructure.
Davidson says many shows and movies in the past decade have taken place in Missouri but weren't filmed here because the incentives went away. Debbie Monterey, KMOX News.
Thank you, Debbie. Yeah, three examples. Ozark. Have you ever watched the Ozark show that's on Netflix that supposedly takes place at Lake of the Ozarks? And some of it, I think they did some limited shooting at Lake of the Ozarks at one point to get some of the landmark visions and scenes that you see around Lake of the Ozarks. But by and large, most of it's filmed, I believe, in Georgia. Sharp Objects isn't something that I saw, but most of us saw three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri. It won at least one Oscar, and it was a great movie, but it should have been filmed here in Missouri, and it wasn't, for one reason and one reason only: no tax credits. So that's one of those things where both conservatives and liberals can look at this and say, we don't like this, but it's really about drawing business to Missouri. So should we be rewarding corporate welfare, rewarding corporations for this? Of course not. But if we don't provide these tax credits, these film studios will just go elsewhere. I mean, look at how much Georgia, the amount of money that Georgia makes from the movie making industry is enormous, because Marvel opened up studios in Georgia and most of the Marvel movies are shot somewhere in Georgia to some extent. I'm not suggesting that Missouri is going to lure Marvel away from Georgia, but it's the concept, and it's a very simple concept. We have to provide incentives if we want that business to come here. Otherwise, they're going to go somewhere else. So by spending a little bit, giving a small tax credit to these corporations, these film movie studios can come to Missouri, employ a lot of people, pay a lot of taxes, and overall, Missouri will benefit greatly from this sort of an incentive program. My hope is that this passes in Missouri in the legislature, passes because the legislative session in Missouri only lasts till the end of May. And my hope is that this gets passed because it will have a benefit to Missouri. Plus, the bottom line, don't you think it's cool when you're watching a movie and you say, hey, I recognize those places. I've seen that. There was a movie a few years ago where George Clooney came to St. Louis to film a movie. And I actually knew at least one person, if not two people, who were in that movie. It's a lot of fun, but it's not just about fun and games. It's about economics. And from every perspective, it's a benefit to Missouri to have that tax credit. And I certainly hope that that gets passed. We've got more coming up, but I just wanted, since we were talking about snakes, I can't get past this topic. What do you think about snakes? I mean, I've told you about the story with my wife and she couldn't stand it. It was scary. My daughter, what do you think about snakes? Do they bother you? Do you like them? Would you want one as a pet? Would you want your spouse or roommate to come home one day and say, look, I've got a pet snake. What do you think of that? I would like to hear that from you. 314-436-7900. We're going to take a break. Don't go away.
I'm Dakota Hudson.
I'm Jordan Hicks.
I'm Cardinals pitcher Jack Flaherty.
I'm Tommy Edmond.
I'm Cardinals outfielder Jordan Walker.
I'm Paul DeYoung.
I'm Woodson Contreras.
I'm Adam Wainwright.
And you're listening to the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening. And this morning, I had the pleasure of being on with Debbie Monterey and Tom Ackerman, as I am every Wednesday morning. I've got a legal segment on. It's at 8:35 on Wednesday mornings. And this morning, we were talking about a topic, and I wanted to expand a little bit on that. And the topic is Alec Baldwin. And Alec Baldwin, much like snakes, evokes a visceral response in many people. And if you mention Alec Baldwin, people love him, people hate him, people think he's funny or not funny. But most folks have an emotional response when you mention Alec Baldwin one way or the other. And he's certainly been a lightning rod over the years. But with regard to this situation with the Rust shooting, he is now being charged with involuntary manslaughter. And what's interesting is under the involuntary manslaughter statutes, he can be charged and serve, if he's convicted, for up to 18 months. But under the state's involuntary manslaughter law, if a gun is involved, then an additional 5 years can be added to that. So there's obviously people are speculating about will he be convicted? How will he fight this? How long will it take? What will be the outcome? And when it comes to legal issues, so often there are lots of things that we don't know. There are lots of issues that we're not aware of, and there are many different outcomes that are simply not predictable. This is one, however, that I think is fairly predictable. Here's why. Involuntary manslaughter is a situation where an individual is charged with murder, but they didn't intend to commit the murder. They just had a high level of negligence that resulted in someone's death. For example, if someone is drunk driving, they're driving an automobile and they're intoxicated. If that car smashes into another person and kills the other person, the initial driver didn't intend to kill the other person. It was just negligence. But the law states that such a high degree of negligence, you knew you were intoxicated. You shouldn't have gotten behind the wheel. And because of that high level, we're going to charge you with that crime of involuntary manslaughter. And there are ramifications from that. And there are also legal defenses to that. But before we break that down any further, Mike is holding on the line. Hey, Mike, welcome to KMOX.
Hey, Brad, I was wondering if you've been watching that trial down in North Carolina with that lawyer, that multi-million-dollar lawyer.
Yeah, Alex Murdoch, I think, I believe is his name.
I find it fascinating. You know, he's got millions of dollars, and he's being accused of blowing his wife and his son away with a shotgun. And I would like to hear your take on it. Thanks.
Well, thank you. Thanks for calling in, Mike. Well, the first thing is, I'm not sure that he has millions of dollars. He's from a wealthy family. But as the information has been coming out, and this is going to make a great Dateline episode one day, I assure you. But as the information's been coming out about that Alex Murdoch case situation, he was having money troubles. He apparently squandered. He got a settlement for a relative. One of his employees. And he actually kept that money. And then that person mysteriously died. And I don't know his guilt or his innocence, but I can tell you this. In every situation where an attorney gets in trouble, it's always one of two things. It's either sex or money. Every time, 99% of the time, it's one of those two things. And far and away, the most common denominator is money. If you look, and I track this every month, I get lots of publications from the Missouri Bar Association, including attorney disbarments and attorney suspensions. And in the vast majority of those, it's over money. And so while it's going to take us a while to get to the bottom of the situation in North Carolina, my instincts tell me that at the end of the day, this too will be something over money. Because his family, his father and his other members of his family have been very successful. But the question is, has Alex himself been very successful? And that's something we don't know. And when you look at all of these monetary or potential monetary transgressions by him, you start to wonder if this is a large Ponzi scheme here that's gone bad. So as this case develops, of course, the focus is going to be on, did he commit the murder? But the underlying issue that could be driving the allegation of murder and driving the allegation of murder against another one of his clients is going to be, how is he spending the money? Because if he had a lifestyle that required him making a lot of money and his revenues weren't necessarily keeping up with that lifestyle, then he would have an incentive to start doing the Ponzi schemes and doing illegal things in order to try to keep up those appearances that, yes, I'm a multimillionaire. Yes, I'm a very successful attorney. Yes, I have a legal dynasty here. And sometimes, as we all know, appearances simply don't match reality. So that's what I'm going to be watching as this case unfolds, is, to paraphrase Tom Cruise, follow the money. Now, before the phone call, I was talking about Alec Baldwin. And one of the main defenses to a charge of involuntary manslaughter is something called the supervening cause. That means it's not my acts that resulted in the death of someone. It was the negligence of someone else. And that's exactly what we have in this situation, because there's that armorer, Gutierrez-Reed. She's the person who has the legal responsibility to make sure that the gun does not have what's called a hot load, that it's a cold load. It's a dummy load. It can't harm anyone. That's not the actor's responsibility. That's the armorer's responsibility. And so when that armorer provided this pistol and it was having a hot load in that pistol, I don't see that as Alec Baldwin's responsibility. Now, I will be honest with you. I am not a fan of Alec Baldwin. I don't like his politics. I certainly don't like him on SNL. Whenever he was on SNL, I would turn it off. Not because I'm a big Trump supporter. I'm not. I just didn't find him to be very funny. And it was kind of cringy. So, under the law, it doesn't matter what their politics are. Yeah. It doesn't matter whether you like them or not. That's why the idea is that justice is blind. We're not to gauge whether someone is innocent or guilty based on whether we like them or not. That can't happen, because if justice is blind, then in that situation, he being Alec Baldwin, needs to receive all of the rights and responsibilities under the law, regardless of whether people like him or not. Hey, Dave is holding, wants to talk about some snakes. Hey, Dave, welcome to KMOX.
Yes, you were talking about snakes.
Yes.
75 years ago, I was about 7 years old, and somebody took me to the St. Louis Zoo. I don't know, it was, you know,
sure,
friends, relatives, whatever. And when we got there, some kind of open field, I can't remember what kind, but there were about 10 or 12 guys holding a snake that was,
10? Wait a second, Dave. 10 to 12 guys were holding one snake?
Yes. They were feeding it.
Oh.
And they would put some food in his mouth, and the first guy would kind of work it to the second guy, and he would work it to the third guy, on down the line.
Now, who wants to have the job of the guy that's putting food in the snake's mouth?
Well, he probably was a pretty, slow mover.
And he's also got to be the lowest paid guy, because if you're making more money, you're saying, hey, dude, I'm not doing that job. You're going to give that job to somebody else. So
I meant the snake is a slow mover, I think.
Well, I know the snake is a slow mover, but I don't care how fast or slow he goes, Dave. Do you really want to be poking food into those choppers? No, I don't want that job. Nobody wants that job.
Well, I never applied.
Okay, good. But if 10 or 12 guys are holding the snake, it must have been enormous.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Why? I'm Dakota Hudson.
I'm Jordan Hicks.
I'm Cardinals pitcher Jack Flaherty.
I'm Tommy Edman.
I'm Cardinals outfielder Jordan Walker.
I'm Paul DeYoung.
I'm Woodson Contreras.
I'm Adam Wainwright.
And you're listening to the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening. And this morning, I had the pleasure of being on with Debbie Monterey and Tom Ackerman, as I am every Wednesday morning. I've got a legal segment on. It's at 8:35 on Wednesday mornings. And this morning we were talking about a topic, and I wanted to expand a little bit on that. And the topic is Alec Baldwin. And Alec Baldwin, much like snakes, evokes a visceral response in many people. And if you mention Alec Baldwin, people love him, people hate him, people think he's funny or not funny. But most folks have an emotional response when you mention Alec Baldwin one way or the other. And he's certainly been a lightning rod over the years. But with regard to this situation with the Rust shooting, he is now being charged with involuntary manslaughter. And what's interesting is under the involuntary manslaughter statutes, he can be charged and serve, if he's convicted, for up to 18 months. But under the state's involuntary manslaughter law, if a gun is involved, then an additional 5 years can be added to that. So there's obviously people are speculating about will he be convicted? How will he fight this? How long will it take? What will be the outcome? And when it comes to legal issues, so often there are lots of things that we don't know. There are lots of issues that we're not aware of, and there are many different outcomes that are simply not predictable. This is one, however, that I think is fairly predictable. Here's why. Involuntary manslaughter is a situation where an individual is charged with murder, but they didn't intend to commit the murder. They just had a high level of negligence that resulted in someone's death. For example, if someone is drunk driving, they're driving an automobile and they're intoxicated. If that car smashes into another person and kills the other person, the initial driver didn't intend to kill the other person. It was just negligence. But the law states that such a high degree of negligence, you knew you were intoxicated, you shouldn't have gotten behind the wheel, and because of that high level, we're going to charge you with that crime of involuntary manslaughter. And there are ramifications from that. And there are also legal defenses to that. But before we break that down any further, Mike is holding on the line. Hey, Mike, welcome to KMOX.
Hey, Brad, I was wondering if you've been watching that trial down in North Carolina with that lawyer, that multi-million dollar lawyer.
Yeah, Alex Murdoch, I believe is his name.
I find it fascinating. You know, he's got millions of dollars, and he's being accused of blowing his wife and his son away with a shotgun. And I would like to hear your take on it. Thanks.
Well, thank you. Thanks for calling in, Mike. Well, the first thing is, I'm not sure that he has millions of dollars. He's from a wealthy family, but as the information has been coming out, and this is going to make a great Dateline episode one day, I assure you. But as the information's been coming out about that Alex Murdoch case situation, he was having money troubles. He apparently squandered. He got a settlement for a relative. One of his employees, and he actually kept that money. And then that person mysteriously died. And I don't know his guilt or his innocence, but I can tell you this. In every situation where an attorney gets in trouble, it's always one of two things. It's either sex or money. Every time, 99% of the time, it's one of those two things. And far and away, the most common denominator is money. If you look, and I track this every month, I get lots of publications from the Missouri Bar Association, including attorney disbarments and attorney suspensions. And in the vast majority of those, it's over money. And so while it's going to take us a while to get to the bottom of the situation in North Carolina, my instincts tell me that at the end of the day, this too will be something over money. Because his family, his father and his other members of his family have been very successful. But the question is, has Alex himself been very successful? And that's something we don't know. And when you look at all of these monetary or potential monetary transgressions by him, you start to wonder if this is a large Ponzi scheme here that's gone bad. So as this case develops, of course, the focus is going to be on, did he commit the murder? But the underlying issue that could be driving the allegation of murder and driving the allegation of murder against another one of his clients is going to be, how is he spending the money? Because if he had a lifestyle that required him making a lot of money and his revenues weren't necessarily keeping up with that lifestyle, then he would have an incentive to start doing the Ponzi schemes and doing illegal things in order to try to keep up those appearances that, yes, I'm a multimillionaire. Yes, I'm a very successful attorney. Yes, I have a legal dynasty here. And sometimes, as we all know, appearances simply don't match reality. So that's what I'm going to be watching as this case unfolds, is, to paraphrase Tom Cruise, follow the money. Now, before the phone call, I was talking about Alec Baldwin. And one of the main defenses to a charge of involuntary manslaughter is something called the supervening cause. That means it's not my acts that resulted in the death of someone. It was the negligence of someone else. And that's exactly what we have in this situation, because there's that armorer, Gutierrez-Reed. She's the person who has the legal responsibility to make sure that the gun does not have what's called a hot load, that it's a cold load. It's a dummy load. It can't harm anyone. That's not the actor's responsibility. That's the armorer's responsibility. And so when that armorer provided this pistol and it was having a hot load in that pistol, I don't see that as Alec Baldwin's responsibility. Now, I will be honest with you. I am not a fan of Alec Baldwin. I don't like his politics. I certainly don't like him on SNL. Whenever he was on SNL, I would turn it off. Not because I'm a big Trump supporter. I'm not. I just didn't find him to be very funny. And it was kind of cringy. So, under the law, it doesn't matter what their politics are. Yeah. It doesn't matter whether you like them or not. That's why the idea is that justice is blind. We're not to gauge whether someone is innocent or guilty based on whether we like them or not. That can't happen, because if justice is blind, then in that situation, he being Alec Baldwin, needs to receive all of the rights and responsibilities under the law, regardless of whether people like him or not. Hey, Dave is holding, wants to talk about some snakes. Hey, Dave, welcome to KMOX.
Yes, you were talking about snakes.
Yes.
75 years ago, I was about 7 years old, and somebody took me to the St. Louis Zoo. I don't know if it was, you know,
Sure. Friends,
relatives, whatever. And when we got there, some kind of open field, I can't remember what kind, but there were about 10 or 12 guys holding a snake that was,
10? Wait a second, Dave. 10 to 12 guys were holding one snake?
Yes. They were feeding it.
Oh.
And they would put some food in his mouth, and the first guy would kind of work it to the second guy, and he would work it to the third guy, on down the line.
who wants to have the job of the guy that's putting food in the snake's mouth?
Well, he probably was a pretty, slow mover.
And he's also got to be the lowest paid guy, because if you're making more money, you're saying, hey, dude, I'm not doing that job. You're going to give that job to somebody else. So
I meant the snake is a slow mover, I think.
Well, I know the snake is a slow mover, but I don't care how fast or slow he goes, Dave. Do you really want to be poking food into those choppers? No, I don't want that job. Nobody wants that job.
Well, I never applied.
Okay, good. But if 10 or 12 guys are holding the snake, it must have been enormous.
Yeah, 15, 18 feet long, I think. Hmm. It was, 75 years ago, I couldn't remember all the details.
Right, I know. But the point, though, Dave, and this is what's fascinating to me, is 75 years later, you're approximately 82 now, but 75
right.
years later, you still remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it for, years and years and years, but your program tonight brought it up. I thought of it right away.
Yeah, and you
like
still
snakes,
remember it, because we remember those things that are emotional. And when you were seven, do you recall did that make you afraid to see that snake, or were you intrigued?
Well, probably intrigued. I don't know. I don't know how it got there. You know, we came upon it, so they'd already. So I don't know how they got it from the cage to the 12 guys. You know.
Well, you haven't had any close encounters with snakes since then, have you?
I haven't, and I hope I don't. No.
Okay, Dave. Well, hey, thanks for calling in. I appreciate hearing that story.
Sure enough. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, I was fishing one time. I was probably 15, and I was fishing in a pond in southern Illinois, and I saw a snake coming at me. And so I started to walk away, and then the snake turned to chase me, and it actually chased me for about 5 feet, and I could run a lot better than I could now. But the coolest encounter I've ever had with a snake, personally, is I also did something called frog gigging. I don't know if you've ever heard of frog gigging before. And yes, this is a Southern Illinois thing. I grew up there. And frog gigging is you put on waders and you get a coal miner's hat on your head that's got a spotlight on it. And you get a frog gig, which is basically a long pole with three prongs on the end. And when you shine the light on the frogs will freeze. And you stab the frogs with the frog gig, put them in a bag, you take them home, and you skin them and fry them, and it tastes like chicken. Because that's the phrase, right? Anything. Oh, it tastes like chicken. Everything tastes like chicken. But frog legs do really taste like chicken, and you could get a lot of them, and it was fun and something to do. And so one night, a buddy of mine and I were frog gigging, and just as I shine the spotlight on a frog, and I'm getting ready to stab it with the frog gig, a snake comes and it grabs that frog in his mouth right as I'm getting ready to stab it, because apparently when I shine the light on it, the snake thought it was dinner time. So he stole it from me. I've got to tell you, for about 2 seconds, I thought about stabbing the snake in order to retrieve my frog. I'm like, dude, you stole my frog. It was my property. I shined a light on it. I tracked it. I had it cornered. And then you came around and stole it from me. But then better sense took over, and I thought, you know, I really don't want to get into a fight with a snake. So I just said, God bless you, my friend, and I hope you enjoy your meal. So, and obviously, if you've seen me lately, I haven't missed many meals, so that has not been a problem. Hey, it's time to take a break. When we come back, we've got more news to discuss this evening here on At Your Service. I'm Brad Young. Don't go away.
Serving St. Louis for over 96 years. KMOX.
During the break, hey Matt, pull up your microphone there. During the break, Matt Pajeski had a great question. What was your question again?
I was looking where I could get some frogs around here. Do I need to hunt my own, or can I order them off a menu somewhere?
Well, I could teach you how to hunt your own, and it's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun, but I only had one problem frog gigging in my childhood, and that was one time a buddy and I were on motorcycles. We were 15, and we had motorcycles, and we went over to this guy's pond, and we're gigging frogs in his pond. He comes out of his house. He starts yelling at us, and he had a gun and started shooting at us. Now, I don't think he was really shooting at us. I think he was like shooting up in the air like you do on 4th of July. But here I am with waders up to my chest. I'm in the middle of a pond, and all of a sudden there's a shotgun being fired over my head. You've never seen a guy move so fast in waders than when he's being shot at, I assure you. So we got out of his pond, and of course we were not hurt, but it does have some danger. There's the snakes, and then there's the pond owners.
Noted.
And I'm not sure which one is more dangerous. There, actually, I'm told, and we have the best audience in any radio station in this country. I literally was just texted and told that you can get frog legs at the Broadway Oyster Bar. So if you're interested and you want to try, it's a lot like fried chicken, very much like chicken wings.
I'm interested.
Very much like chicken wings. You can get them at the Broadway Oyster Bar here in St. Louis. And I've never had them there. I've only had them at home. But you can get them at Broadway Oyster Bar and tell them Brad Young sent you. moving on from frogs and snakes. I don't know how we got off on frogs and snakes all evening, but it's a fun discussion. One thing that is also a fun discussion is that today, in fact, there was more investigations into the DocuGate, the document scandal that's plaguing both Republicans and Democrats. But what's interesting is that the FBI searched President Biden's vacation home, didn't find anything. But at the end of the day, I don't see President Biden being convicted here. I don't see President Trump being convicted of anything, even though their situations are vastly different in the mind of the public and in the mind of any potential grand jury. If you charge one president or ex-president and don't charge the other, it looks to be favoritism. And so I really don't see there being any charges. Plus, historically, people have kept documents forever. I mean, I remember even during the Carter administration, there was problems with documents being kept. Nobody gets prosecuted, generally. Sandy Berger, who was the national security advisor for President Clinton, he actually went to the National Archives and stuffed documents into his socks and into his pants and smuggled them out. Now, I don't know how desperate he was. He pled guilty. He had to pay a fine. It was a misdemeanor. It wasn't that big of a deal. But my point is, this traditionally has not been a major issue. However, I did read today, and I don't know if there's any truth to this, but there were some interesting things found, and just now, apparently this is breaking news, about stuff that was found next to President Biden's Corvette in his garage. Because in addition to some of the documents that were found, apparently President Obama's birth certificate was found in there. I can't confirm that, but also some of his initial hair plugs for President Biden were found in his garage next to his Corvette. Now, those, I'm sure they were very gray by now because he got hair plugs a long time ago. And certainly, as one who's follically challenged, it's not for me to mock his hair plugs. But one of the more interesting things, apparently, there were some JFK documents found in there, too. So I really want to see what those JFK documents have to say. And according to reports, even Jimmy Hoffa was found in President Biden's garage next to the Corvette. So look for that tomorrow in the news, and that should be breaking news tomorrow. One of the things that's not so funny, though, is that as we watch how the war is progressing in Afghanistan right now, one of the things that was just released earlier this week is that it looks like Vladimir Putin is buying U.S. weapons that were left in Afghanistan. If you remember when we pulled out of Afghanistan in 2021, one of the things that we left behind, and I say one, but it was billions of dollars worth of equipment. There were Humvees, machine guns, rockets. I don't believe that we left any tanks, but there were certainly armored personnel carriers and lots of equipment, helicopters. What's called surface-to-air missiles or MANPADs, Stinger missiles were there. And those Stinger missiles have been used to great effect in the Ukraine-Russian war. A lot of those were left. And so now it appears, according to reports, that Putin is buying those weapons from the Taliban that were left over by the United States. And when you think about that, how awful is that, that we left those weapons because we left in a hurry, and now those weapons could be used by Russia against Ukraine, whom we're supporting in the war. That's very, very sad indeed. And it looks like that this would be done with cash. They would be paying cash to the Taliban because they need cash. But the question becomes, how effective would the Russian army be at using those weapons? Now, I have to tell you, one of the most magnificent things, because I love military technology and I follow it very closely, one of the things that's been fascinating to me is how the Ukrainians have been so adaptable when it comes to equipment. Think about this. Right now, the Ukrainians are using more different kinds of military equipment than have ever been used by any one country in the history of warfare. Because it's not just Russian leftover Soviet equipment. They're using that equipment. They're using German equipment, Polish equipment, U.S. equipment, British equipment. They're using an amalgamation of all of these different types of military hardware. And that's never been done before. Never been done before. So the most fascinating part of this is something called a HARM missile. Basically, a HARM missile is an anti-radiation missile. So, for example, one of the jets that are built right here in St. Louis, it's called the Growler. And it's not the F-18 Super Hornet, it's the F-18 Growler. It's a modification of the F-18. And it's designed to be an electronic warfare or a jamming jet that will jam the radar systems of other countries. Now, one of the things that has been built for the Growler aircraft is this anti-radiation missile. So theoretically, if the jet is coming upon a surface-to-air missile battery that's got a radar lock on the jet, the F-18 Growler could fire an anti-radiation missile that homes in on the radiation from that radar battery, goes in, and then destroys it. A lot of those missiles are built also by Boeing as well. So those missiles were not built to be used on Soviet aircraft. They simply weren't. They were designed to fly off of U.S. aircraft, in particular F-18s, whether it's the Super Hornet or the Growler. So the Ukrainians have modified their old Soviet-era jets to fire modern missiles that were designed to be fired from U.S. aircraft. Now, there's one video in particular that I've watched. This one video, it's a cockpit video from inside, I believe it's an Su-27, which is a Russian-made jet aircraft. And the Ukrainians have MacGyvered this jet, this missile onto the jet, and they're using what appears to be either an iPad, an iPhone, or some sort of digital phone as the firing device, and it's duct taped into the cockpit. And then they're launching these missiles that were never designed to be fired from Soviet aircraft. And they've MacGyvered it on there in such a way that they've adapted and they use that equipment, those resources, to help prosecute or help defend their country, rather, from the Russian invasion. Fascinating, fascinating thing to watch. But what I don't want to see, and what I hope that we never see, is U.S. weapons that were left in Afghanistan being used by the Russians against the Ukrainians. Now, the last thing here that I think is interesting is, where else is Putin going for weapons right now? One of the places that he is going, and this has been confirmed by the U.S. Southern Command Chief, General Laura Richardson, she confirmed this week that the Biden administration has offered other countries, like, for example, Venezuela, Cuba, Nicaragua, they have offered them used U.S. military equipment if they would send their old Russian equipment to Ukraine. To me, that is a perfect opportunity to mend fences with countries that don't like us and help Ukraine all at the same time. You want to talk about a win-win? That's a win-win. And I hope that the Biden administration can make that happen. Brad Young, at your service. We've got lots of stuff next hour, including a discussion. What is the worst thing in America today? What do most Americans dislike the most? We'll cover that next hour on At Your Service, KMOX.
Serving St. Louis for over 96 years, KMOX.
During the break, hey, Matt, pull up your microphone there. During the break, Matt Pajeski had a great question. What was your question again?
I was looking where I could get some frogs around here. Do I need to hunt my own, or can I order them off a menu somewhere?
Well, I can teach you how to hunt your own, and it's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun, but I only had one problem frog gigging in my childhood, and that was one time a buddy and I were on motorcycles. We were 15. And we had motorcycles, and we went over to this guy's pond, and we're gigging frogs in his pond. He comes out of his house. He starts yelling at us, and he had a gun and started shooting at us. Now, I don't think he was really shooting at us. I think he was like shooting up in the air like you do on 4th of July. But here I am with waders up to my chest. I'm in the middle of a pond, and all of a sudden there's a shotgun being fired over my head. You've never seen a guy move so fast in waders than when he's being shot at, I assure you. So we got out of his pond, and of course we were not hurt, but it does have some danger. There's the snakes, and then there's the pond owners.
No,
and, and I'm not sure which one is more dangerous. There actually, I'm told, and we have the best audience in any radio station in this country. I literally was just texted and told that you can get frog legs at the Broadway Oyster Bar. So if you're interested and you want to try, it's a lot like fried chicken, much like chicken wings.
I'm interested.
Very much like chicken wings. You can get them at the Broadway Oyster Bar here in St. Louis. And I've never had them there. I've only had them at home, but you can get them at Broadway Oyster Bar and tell them Brad Young sent you. Moving on from frogs and snakes. I don't know how we got off on frogs and snakes all evening, but it's a fun discussion. One thing that is also a fun discussion is that today, in fact, there was more investigations into the DocuGate, the document scandal that's plaguing both Republicans and Democrats. But what's interesting is that the FBI searched President Biden's vacation home, didn't find anything. But at the end of the day, I don't see President Biden being convicted here. I don't see President Trump being convicted of anything, even though their situations are vastly different in the mind of the public and in the mind of any potential grand jury. If you charge one president or ex-president and don't charge the other, it looks to be favoritism. And so I really don't see there being any charges. Plus, historically, people have kept documents forever. I mean, I remember even during the Carter administration, there was problems with documents being kept. Nobody gets prosecuted, generally. Sandy Berger, who was the national security advisor for President Clinton, he actually went to the National Archives and stuffed documents into his socks and into his pants and smuggled them out. Now, I don't know how desperate he was. He pled guilty. He had to pay a fine. It was a misdemeanor. It wasn't that big of a deal. But my point is, this traditionally has not been a major issue. However, I did read today, and I don't know if there's any truth to this, but there were some interesting things found, and just now, apparently this is breaking news, about stuff that was found next to President Biden's Corvette in his garage. Because in addition to some of the documents that were found, apparently President Obama's birth certificate was found in there. I can't confirm that. But also, some of his initial hair plugs for President Biden were found in his garage next to his Corvette. Now, those, I'm sure they were very gray by now because he got hair plugs a long time ago. And certainly, as one who's follically challenged, it's not for me to mock his hair plugs. But one of the more interesting things, apparently, there were some JFK documents found in there, too. So I really want to see what those JFK documents have to say. And according to reports, even Jimmy Hoffa was found in President Biden's garage next to the Corvette. So look for that tomorrow in the news, and that should be breaking news tomorrow. One of the things that's not so funny, though, is that as we watch how the war is progressing in Afghanistan right now, one of the things that was just released earlier this week is that it looks like Vladimir Putin is buying U.S. weapons that were left in Afghanistan. If you remember when we pulled out of Afghanistan in 2021, one of the things that we left behind, and I say one, but it was billions of dollars worth of equipment. There were Humvees, machine guns, rockets. I don't believe that we left any tanks, but there were certainly armored personnel carriers and lots of equipment, helicopters. What's called surface-to-air missiles or MANPADs, Stinger missiles were there, and those Stinger missiles have been used to great effect in the Ukraine-Russian war. A lot of those were left. And so now it appears, according to reports, that Putin is buying those weapons from the Taliban that were left over by the United States. And when you think about that, how awful is that, that we left those weapons because we left in a hurry, and now those weapons could be used by Russia against Ukraine, whom we're supporting in the war. That's very, very sad indeed. And it looks like that this would be done with cash. They would be paying cash to the Taliban because they need cash. But the question becomes, how effective would the Russian army be at using those weapons? Now, I have to tell you, one of the most magnificent things, because I love military technology and I follow it very closely. One of the things that's been fascinating to me is how the Ukrainians have been so adaptable when it comes to equipment. Think about this. Right now, the Ukrainians are using more different kinds of military equipment than have ever been used by any one country in the history of warfare. Because it's not just Russian leftover Soviet equipment. They're using that equipment. They're using German equipment, Polish equipment, U.S. equipment, British equipment. They're using an amalgamation of all of these different types of military hardware. And that's never been done before. Never been done before. So the most fascinating part of this is something called a HARM missile. Basically, a HARM missile is an anti-radiation missile. So, for example, one of the jets that are built right here in St. Louis, it's called the Growler. And it's not the F-18 Super Hornet, it's the F-18 Growler. It's a modification of the F-18. And it's designed to be an electronic warfare or a jamming jet that will jam the radar systems of other countries. Now, one of the things that has been built for the Growler aircraft is this anti-radiation missile. So theoretically, if the jet is coming upon a surface-to-air missile battery that's got a radar lock on the jet, the F-18 Growler could fire an anti-radiation missile that homes in on the radiation from that radar battery, goes in, and then destroys it. A lot of those missiles are built also by Boeing as well. So those missiles were not built to be used on Soviet aircraft. They simply weren't. They were designed to fly off of U.S. aircraft, in particular F-18s, whether it's the Super Hornet or the Growler. So the Ukrainians have modified their old Soviet-era jets to fire modern missiles that were designed to be fired from U.S. aircraft. Now, there's one video in particular that I've watched. This one video, it's a cockpit video from inside, I believe it's an Su-27, which is a Russian-made jet aircraft. And the Ukrainians have MacGyvered this jet, this missile onto the jet, and they're using what appears to be either an iPad, an iPhone, or some sort of digital phone as the firing device, and it's duct taped into the cockpit. And then they're launching these missiles that were never designed to be fired from Soviet aircraft. And they've MacGyvered it on there in such a way that they've adapted and they use that equipment, those resources, to help prosecute or help defend their country, rather, from the Russian invasion. Fascinating, fascinating thing to watch. But what I don't want to see, and what I hope that we never see, is U.S. weapons that were left in Afghanistan being used by the Russians against the Ukrainians. Now, the last thing here that I think is interesting is, where else is Putin going for weapons right now? One of the places that he is going, and this has been confirmed by the U.S. Southern Command Chief, General Laura Richardson, she confirmed this week that the Biden administration has offered other countries, like, for example, Venezuela, Cuba, Nicaragua, they have offered them used U.S. military equipment if they would send their old Russian equipment to Ukraine. To me, that is a perfect opportunity to mend fences with countries that don't like us and help Ukraine all at the same time. You want to talk about a win-win? That's a win-win. And I hope that the Biden administration can make that happen. Brad Young, at your service. We've got lots of stuff next hour, including a discussion. What is the worst thing in America today? What do most Americans dislike the most? We'll cover that next hour on At Your Service, KMOX.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.